All right, and welcome to another fantastic thriftical episode of Howling with the Wolf. This is the Wolfman, the one-man band, and it is National Thrift Day, whatever that means, because every day is Thrift Day. I tell you what, you know, I didn't drink for over a month there, and I gotta admit, I sort of been overdoing it again lately. And I'd like to think it's for good reason, but I guess there really isn't good reason. But let me tell you what it's like to be a bartender. See, when I was just doing bar back and security, it was a little different because I get paid to do my business and then I, you know, go home. But when you start bartending again, you're the last one out, especially if there's a bar that closes. So say the bar closes and people start leaving around midnight. Then we start breaking down the bar and cleaning everything, which is done by about 1. Then the manager and the lead bartender counts down the money, so that's about 1:30, sometimes up till 2. But anytime after midnight or 12:30 is basically open bar for the employees. And this is just about every bar. You get your after shifter, the waitresses come in. So after the bar closes, they get excited and they want their after shifter. After that crowd leaves, then you get your after shifter. Because generally speaking, you shouldn't be drinking on the job. It slows you down. And even though you can take a shot with people at the bar, it's just not a good idea. A lot of people can't handle it. I've done it before. I've done security hammered at that biker bar. But generally speaking, not the greatest idea. So anyway, after about midnight, you know, we're just sitting there waiting for our turn. So we'll have a beer waiting. And then before you know it, it's 4 a.m. You're sitting there shit-talking about things, laughing about the day, how dumb people are and all those things. And then you're like, shit, I guess I better go home. But then you don't feel like cooking. So then you go to another bar, get you some wings and another beer or two, and next thing you know, the sun's coming up. And then you're like, well, shit, my 4 to 5, possibly 6 hour shift just became a 12 hour shift, and then with after party became a 16 hour shift, but you're making a shit ton of money. So where I'd be making like 80, 90 bucks in my hourly doing the other jobs, I'm coming home with 200 plus on tips on top of that. So what are you going to do? Obviously, you're going to drink and gamble. That's how Vegas gets you. So then, if you have a job bartending, they're generally only 2 or 3 days a week and scheduled 5 to 6 hours, but you know it's going to be a lot longer than that. You have technically 4 days off, and me, I run my business and do commissions and make figures and things on my own. Well, when you start to work a quote-unquote real job again, you start thinking of your days off as your days off, not realizing you have to work. So my first day off, you know, I'm like, all right, cool, I finally got some time off, I got some extra money, let's go hang out with some friends and drink and do whatever. And then the next day you're like, shit, I still gotta work my regular job. So then I draw for 16 hours the next day, just totally, you know, go overboard on everything. And then the next day I'm doing maybe 12 hours of making figures, which, you know, it's been difficult lately with the monsoon season because I got to sand with a electric sander outside and dodge lightning bolts or wind or rain or sandstorms, which I learned is called a haboob around here, which is hilarious. I love haboobs. Mother Nature was just like, surprise, bitch, here's my haboob. And, yeah. So it's interesting. And I don't know why. I just tend to be the type of person that goes balls to the wall and overdoes it. But I guess that's how I am. Yeah, it is what it is. And so there's been some interesting observations. And again, I feel like I'm such a different person from other people out there, and maybe some of you can relate, because we've talked before how, well, actually, I'm distracted because I'm looking over the city now. I'm just getting on the freeway. When it rains and is a monsoon season in Vegas, you could see where the clouds are and you could see where it's raining because it's all flat. So I could see the Southwest is getting dumped on right now, and it's super dark and lightning in the afternoon. And then this Northwest area that I'm in is kind of white misty clouds. So it's just kind of crazy. And then, of course, the East side's like perfectly clear, nice day. All right, so couple observations I've had while working the bar again is I tend to overdo it and I tend to work harder than other people. And that's not a pat on the back. It probably is actually a problem because other security have been hired after me to replace the spot that I was in. And they just stand in one spot. How can you notice somebody passing coke to each other in the bathroom if you're standing up by the speaker the whole night watching the band? Or how do you notice that glass dropped and broke on the other side of the bar if you're not making your rounds? Now, that's not saying to, like, circle and act like a wolf on the prowl and, you know, prey on everything looking for a problem. But I don't understand why some people can't do their job, and I get into this trouble all the time. The best advice I ever had while working a real job was only ever do 80% of your job, because if you do any more, they'll expect that of you all the time. And there might be days you go to work hungover or just not in the mood, or, you know, you don't want to cover for everybody's ass, you just want to be left alone and do your job. I just can't do that. I go 110% every single day, no matter what I'm doing. I can't stop. And it's, for whatever reason, a personal problem. It doesn't matter if it's gambling, spending money, thrifting, collecting, drawing, sculpting, working a job, doing security, doing bartending, whatever it is, it's like just balls to the wall super fast, get everything done, be so absorbed in it and obsessed with it that you zonk out. So a couple security got hired after me, and they just sit there and they stand there. And then one guy showed up shit-faced at the start of the shift, and he was being, you know, he's a veteran, which, you know, the only thing I have to say about that is if you're drunk and a veteran, it's very dangerous. Because at any moment you could snap and forget that you're not a boot anymore and that you're not in those situations and that people don't need to die for doing the wrong thing. So it bothers me when I see veterans trying to do a job and they're drunk off their ass. And he's all like huggy and jokey and laughing at absolutely everything, thinking it's fucking hilarious. And my thing, when I'm in a bar, if someone tries to hug me, I try and hug them on the lower back or around their waist. I'm not doing it because I like him. I'm doing it because I want to see if you have a gun. And sure as shit, he's drunk as fuck and he's got his gun on him. And I'm like, all right. Just like the kid with the picture in the gun. Like, if you have a gun and you're doing security, technically in Vegas, you have to have a county card, a sheriff's card that says you're allowed to do armed security. If you don't go showing people that you have a gun. And if you're drunk as fuck, don't bring a gun with you. And if you're drunk as fuck and you're not working and you're in a bar, a gun's not allowed anywhere near a bar to begin with. But I know everyone's gun happy these days. And look, I'm not trying to dissuade anyone from owning a gun or from trying to protect people, because Lord knows there's a ton of gun violence out there, and there's been a lot of things solved by guns that the cops can't do, because there's so many people that are legal bound that can't use their weapon the way a vigilante or a civilian would. So I don't know, I'm torn on the thing. I don't think guns need to be banned. Maybe you don't need a machine gun, but if that's your hobby and you're a respectable person that passed all your background checks, then okay, great. Take your rifle and whatever, that's fine. own what you gotta own. But the people that are law-abiding citizens aren't the ones shooting schools up. And they're not the ones going on Fremont shooting other gangbangers and causing a trouble. So, yeah. But anyway, if you're drunk as fuck, you don't need to have a gun on you anyway. So we dismissed him for the night. And then the following week, we got another dude who just like... God, he's like Lurch from the Addams Family. And then he's like, well, I haven't had a job in a long time, and I hurt my back, and I can't do this, I can't do that. So pretty much, and this is my problem with security. A lot of people get it because they're lazy, and they don't know how to do anything, and they're just over 200 pounds and over 6 feet tall, and they think they can just stand there and be a body. But when things pop off, they don't know what to do. And it bothers me. It's the same thing that I got bothered by at Toys R Us when people would come in asking for the next wave of the Simpsons Intel chip figures and they didn't know when they were coming out. Well, fucking do your job. Do some research. Enjoy what you do and let people know that, hey, there's this new line of things coming out that you might want to pay attention to. Marvel Legends. They look kind of quirky and mannequin-like, but hey, might as well get some. That was the era that I was in at Toys R Us. And yet they wouldn't make me a manager of boys because they thought I was a collector and I was just trying to get it for myself. No, I was trying to make sales, you dumbass. Why would you hire someone as a car salesman that's never, not alone, driven a car but don't know shit about a car? It bothers me when people don't do their job or don't have the facilities to learn their job and enjoy it and do a good job of it. And this Lurch dude just, he's starstruck because we're at Rockstar Bars. He's walking around. He's like, is that? Yes, it is. Yeah, but is that? No, you can't get an autograph. Well, can I? No, don't go talk to him. You're there to protect them. Well, what if something happens? That's the wrong question to ask. If it's security, if you're fucking security, you should know what happens. I get that, you know, you're basically intimidating telecommunications if you work security, because these days you're not allowed to lay hands on people anymore. And if something happens, you call into dispatch over your radio and they'll disperse a LEO, a law enforcement officer, and then they'll legally take care of it. So really, security is essentially the most intimidating poker bluff out there. Because our hands are tied, we can't do anything. But then you get a motherfucker like me that memorizes where the blind spots are in the bar, and you hurt someone so bad that you convince them that I didn't do it, and that if they ever saw me again, my whole fucking garage is set up like Dexter's lab. And I'm not talking the little fucking powder puff girl. So, it just bothers me seeing people that can't do their job. And not only that, they want female bartenders. So I'm not, the bartending thing is just a fill-in thing. I'm not going to be a full-time bartender. I was hired as security, so that's what I'm going to go back to. But for August, I filled in for the bar back. I did such a good job as a bar back at actually serving drinks that they made me a bartender when their other, just like I had predicted, when we fired that one guy for bringing his gun out in the picture, his girlfriend, who was the bartender, she quit. So they said, well, Wolf's got it, which I do. So, you know, and I did a really good job of it, but they have it in their mind that women make more money for the bar and make more money for themselves, so they're always going to want female bartenders. Well, they tried out one of the waitresses who knows how to hustle and bust her ass on the floor, but when she's a bartender, she was slow as fuck. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I can't say anything because technically I'm still new and I don't need to be speaking my piece and, you know, telling people what a shitty job they're doing because I'm not a manager and I don't want to get into those situations. But I'm just kind of breezing around her, doing the dishes, stocking the beer, taking care of things. And I'm even still serving behind her because while she's thinking about what goes into a vodka cranberry, wait for it. That's right, vodka and cranberry. I'm sitting there and I've served two more beers and a mixed drink. So, you know, you you have to not think when you're a bartender. I know there's a lot of library of drinks you have to keep in your head. I had to pause for a split second to remember what the fuck a White Russian was. I mean, it's Kahlua vodka in half and half, which is nasty as fuck. But, man, it did not take me 30 seconds or more to stand there with the bottle and just act stupid and then cute and hopefully people still pay me. And another thing is the banter. People want banter. People want to be shit-talked by the bartender or watch them shit-talk someone else. There's so much that goes into it. And I've done all that. So needless to say, after an hour or two of training, they cut her and I took over the rest of the night. But then again, that cut into my tips, because if you have three people, you're splitting it three ways. So during our busy part in that first 2 hours, I ended up only making $50 because that bitch slowed us down and I wasn't bartending. So I only got a cut of the tips during that portion of the night. So yeah, it is what it is. But like I say, any of these extras, and that's why I've been overdoing it lately, any of these extra monies coming in from the tips that I wasn't expecting was unexpected. So that's why I've been kind of splurging lately. But yeah, I don't understand why people don't do their job. I get if you're a custodian or a teacher or even security or something like that, where you go to work, you put in your time, you don't really have any emergencies. And I mean, security as in like just the people that monitor. And, yeah, I don't get it. Well, so I thought about it, and actually this is something I won't do very often, but I actually retract what I said. I didn't mean to make it seem like teachers and some of those jobs I mentioned were just, you know, lazy asses biding their time. There are people that at basically any job that'll do that. I was trying to think off the cuff of some jobs where people just get, where they don't just do anything. I mean, even at fast food, there's people at Popeyes that hustle their ass, get the food orders out, and then you got that one lackadaisical, you know, some bitch that just stands there and like doesn't give a fuck about anything, doesn't care. I mean, we've all got these coworkers that you seem to do the work or your job and you have to cover for everyone else, but on the day that you need to slack, they don't cover for you. So I take it back. Like, I wasn't mentioning those jobs for them to say that those were the lazy jobs to get. Security, though, I do believe, especially surveillance, is one of those jobs. I mean, it's like a Walmart door greeter. There is no action. There's nothing they have to do but call the cops. And it's just, it's more or less a house sitter for a lot of security jobs. Anyway, my point is, it just bothers me when you do so much more work than everyone else, don't get paid for it. And, you know, the obvious lesson there is don't do it, but I can't. It's, like I say, it's more or less a personal problem where I just can't stand there. I have such a short attention span. I can't just let shit go. If I see shit, I'll do it. Even if I'm not working at a place and I'm hanging out at a place, I'll notice things, I'll fix it, or I'll bust my own table or whatever, you know. I'll be working behind the bar, doing bartending stuff, not even scheduled for security, don't even have a radio, which I personally don't think is necessary anyway. In a small club, if you just keep your eyes open and use a flashlight, if you need help, that's all you need. I mean, we'll notice. But I'll make one round on my way into the bathroom and pick up like 10 different glasses, notice that the paper towel changer got broken and that the other one's out, and you know, if you don't fix those things right away, it just makes a mess for later, because then people don't wash their hands, or they'll just wipe it on anything, or they'll piss all over the floor. I mean, it's, people are trash, you know. So I'll notice way more on my one go around than half these people do in their entire shift, and that bothers me. So there was an instance where Jeremy on Twitter asked a question, poorly describe your job. And I joked and said, well, I get people drunk and then kick them out for being drunk. Which is hilarious and probably the most accurate description of a bartender that I've ever seen. Case in point, and I'm so happy it was a British kid, because I can't stand them fuckers, comes up to the bar. He was already kind of snockered, but, you know, you're on vacation. I'm trying to let you have a good time. Just don't fuck up. Yeah, mate, can I get a double vodka and a Red Bull? Okay, you boorish asshole. Why don't you over-enunciate everything anyway? I couldn't even tell if he was drunk or if he was just over-enunciating this shit. But at least he said it better than the bitch that came up before him and said, can I get a Tito's and vodka? Bitch, that's the same thing. You want a mixer with your shot, you dumb bitch? Yeah. Vodka Red Bull. Okay, let me give you your double vodka Red Bull. I'm going to charge you double and give you a single because you're already drunk. You won't notice. So I gave it to him and two sips in. He starts wobbling and then he starts making circles. So most bars will have a roundabout where you can go between the bar and then the main dance floor or the main, music floor area, entertainment floor. And he just kept making laps. And I'm like, I don't know if this kid's looking for someone or just looking for trouble because he's pissing a lot of people off. So on his third lap, I caught him. And then security comes up, knowing that I jumped out from behind the bar to do something that they should have been doing. And now we've got three of them around this poor kid. And he starts freaking out, and he's sloshing his drink all over and everything. And they're like, sir, just give me the water. No, I'm not giving you my drink. Just give me the drink, sir. I need you. You're a little drunk. And they start explaining shit. And I'm just looking at both of these guys, and I'm like, oh, you got to be shitting me. So with drunk people, you got to know how to handle them. You got to know how to handle them fast. I walked up to the kid after watching security try and get him out. I said, hey, do me a favor. Hold this for a second. And I handed him a water bottle. And I said, here, I'll hold this for you. And I took his drink. Didn't ask. I just said, hold this. And he automatically reached out and handed me his drink so that he could grab the water bottle. And then he tried to understand what was going on. I pointed to my ear and I was like, hey, I can't hear you. Come here for a sec. So he follows me. I didn't push him, didn't touch him. He follows me outside willingly. And now that I got him outside, I was like, hey, you're a little drunk. Drink that. Have a good night. See you later. You're done for the night, though. And I walk back in and the other two guys are looking like, wow, that was easy. And I'm like, it's that easy. Like, you start explaining shit, he's going to get hostile and he wants to fight. And then he's going to make a mess by dropping shit all over the floor. Look, quick and easy, easy peasy, get the fuck out. So I found the superpowers at Walmart, finally. And I had the three main characters, and then I just found the Black Green Lantern. But they had the Batwing and the Supermobile, whatever it is, the Super Puncher thing. That one I was going to pass on because I'm not a big Superman fan, and it was $29, so for the price, I wasn't too keen on it. But everyone I've seen that's found a Batwing has posted and said that it's $19.99. And when I tried to ring up, it said Batwing $29.99. And I'm like, for this little piece of shit? There's no way. I mean, I think that's an error. That's not like a modernized price gouge on shit. Because there's even stuff from Mattel that's smaller that's still $19.99. I mean, you can get a Battle Cat for like $19.99. And this thing's like a tiny ass little Batwing. Yeah, that had to be a mistake. But so I passed on that. I'll wait until I find it for a good price. I mean, it wasn't one of those things I desperately needed. But shit, for $30, I can go on eBay and get a beat up old one that's twice the size. Yeah. So August has been a spooky month. Rain and thunder, dark clouds, really only hit maybe 2-3 days there at the very beginning, at the end of July, beginning of August, where it was over 110, and then all of a sudden it dropped, and it's been almost at 100 or below for most of August, which is, for us, that's great. It's been a little humid at times, but it's been nice, but Point is, it's been getting us into more of a spooky kind of season. And I made the joke after Shark Week that spooky season can begin. And it really kind of sort of has. I've actually had a few paranormal experiences and some weird things happen. I love being in a new place, and especially after hours. So I was asking the staff if they had seen anything at the bar. And they said, yeah, there's a shadow. There's somebody that's in the bar. They can't figure out who it is, but they like to light the candles. I mean, it's a vampire-themed bar. So it's kind of gothy anyway, and there's a lot of weird reflections and obscure lighting that'll make you think you see something. But really, it's just, it's a trick. So we were talking about it, trying to figure out things. And I said, so there's not really been anything like doors opening or voices or noises? And they're like, nope, nothing like that. So I start sharing some of my experiences, you know, from the Bunny Ranch and a lot of stuff that I've had to deal with over the years. And kind of, I don't like to let people know I'm crazy right off the bat, but, you know, since we were swapping ghost stories, I mentioned that, yeah, I'm a little intuitive. And I said, things tend to happen around me that wouldn't normally happen anywhere else. So I said, I'll be interested to see if something happens here. And then all of a sudden, whap, from across the room, we hear this slap, like a really loud slap. And I realized what it was. I had just cleaned the fruit tray, and it's got a sliding dome that goes over the top of it. And when I clean it, I close it so nothing gets in there overnight. And this thing popped itself open and slapped up against the bar. Now everyone's looking at me like I did it. Like I got something attached to me. I mean, I do. But they're like, what the fuck are you bringing here? I'd already freaked them out in my ghost stories, and now shit's starting to happen. So that was kind of a little fun thing. But personally now, I've had a few deaths lately. Lost my friend Austin, and I had planned on going up to her funeral and send off, but you know, things didn't work out with the band, and I feel bad, but I couldn't leave this job again, because I remember I'd started the band and the bar at the same time, just as sort of an extracurricular for me, and then kind of blew off the bar because I tried the band. I would have rather had done that, not realizing they had better plans for me at the bar. So now that I'm there, I couldn't say, hey, I need this time off again after just officially signing on. So I couldn't make it up to her send-off. And the day of her send-off, I slept in. It might be a little more why I've been sleeping a lot lately. It's not really depressed or drinking a lot, but just a lot of stuff's been going on. Been working too hard. Haven't really been able to zone out and relax after and kind of decompress. I had woken up from a dream where she came up and gave me a hug and said, it's okay, I miss you too, don't worry. And I woke up and I realized that was the day of her send-off. So it was like she forgave me for not being able to go. So that was kind of nice. And I've had dreams like that. Whether they're dreams or not, or your subconscious makes these things up, it doesn't matter. If it's good for you, then believe what you want. I mean, it's like religion. You're going to believe what you want for your own sanity anyway. So if it doesn't hurt anyone, you know, go for it. Believe in it. And I believe it was her. I believe she came and said goodbye and that it was okay. And she said she's got a lot of friends. She's got a lot of family. A lot of people that have been looking out for her over the years. So for her to visit me or for me to have that thought while almost forgetting what day it was kind of cool. Another thing is my mom's dog died. It was a little dachshund. And her favorite thing in the world was feathers. She didn't understand them and thought that they were amazing. They would float, they'd fly, they'd move on their own. She thought they were living. I mean, just anytime there was a feather, she would go nuts for him. Well, she passed on my birthday, and last week sometime, I was sitting in the backyard watching the storm come in, so it hadn't quite hit yet, and the birds are frolicking, going around, doing their thing. And this hummingbird came out from behind me and just kind of hovered in front for a little bit, and then shivered and dropped a little feather right at my foot, and then flew off. And my initial response, I'm watching this, my initial response was just, oh, hey, bug. That's what we called her. Her name was Callie, but Mom always called her Bug. So, that's just crazy that that's the first thing I would think of to say. So, was that her? I don't know. Is that white butterfly flying by your grandmother? I don't know. But again, if it makes you feel good and it's not hurting anyone, take all the happiness you can get. If it brings a fond memory, then take it, you know, enjoy it. I don't see anything wrong in that, and I think if a lot of people would stop and pay attention, and one of the reasons I notice things more than other people is because I pay attention. And if you just open your mind, you'd be able to see a lot more otherworldly and strange occurrences than you think. I mean, some of you, you know, one of you live in Canada. There's a lot of paranormal activity and a lot of strange lights, northern lights, things up there, I'm sure. Another one of you I know that listens is right next to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I mean, that's where Hangar 18 and UFOs and a lot of things are supposed to go. In fact, they even say that the Roswell crash remnants are on Wright Pat. So if you have time, anyone that listens, wherever you are, I'm sure your area has something. Just stop for a couple of minutes every now and then. Look at the night sky. You might notice a satellite, and it's cool, and it calms you down. Or if you just happen to notice maybe a different sound than others, well, you know, that's cool. Just take note of these things. In retrospect, though, people that are so absorbed, it's the watch pot that never boils sort of thing. There's a lot of people that are so desperate to see something paranormal that if the house settles, they go, oh my God, it's a ghost. Or if a cupboard door slams shut, they don't realize the AC just turned on and there was a vortex in the house. Or, so, you know, you got to rationalize a lot of these things out. Well, so the other night I'm drawing like a speed demon trying to get this shit done because I took on a little more commissions than I had been used to just to kind of make up for lost time, not realizing that the bar was going to use me more and pay me a lot more. So I ended up double booking myself. And I'm sitting there drawing, not paying attention to much, and I hear a skittering over in the kitchen. And I'm like, I wonder what Freya's up to now. And then something going through like the dog food and all that. I'm like, what is she getting into? It sounds like she's getting in trouble. And then I look down and she's laying at my feet. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I got a mouse or I got a rat. Something came into the house or whatnot. And it sounded like a little dog. And I thought, how weird would that be if it was Callie kind of scratching across the floor? So I got up. And I looked outside, and there was the beginnings of a thunderstorm happening. So I guess some palm trees were making some noise, and a haboob had started blowing sand on the side of the house. And so I tried to rationalize it out, but the more I think about it, it really did sound like a small dog was kind of going through the food bowl and playing with stuff. And it could have been Callie. It really could have. And then I went, took a nap yesterday. Wasn't even really thinking about her much. Woke up and I saw, you know, in, what was it, Nightmare Before Christmas, where they have that little ghost dog that follows him around, where it's kind of see-through, but you could tell it was like a dachshund or a wiener dog, something like that. I woke up and I saw this thing floating in the ceiling. And usually, I'll see stuff floating all the time. It could be the bacteria in your eyes. It'll be you know, dust particle or your eyes just focusing and matrixing on something in the background. But this was on a pure white part of the ceiling where there wasn't any decoration. And I saw this form floating right up above, like just like a Disney ghost dog would do, kind of smiling and ruffling, you know, the ears and flipping their collar and stuff and shaking. And out of a sleep, I did the same thing. I was like, oh, hey, bug. Now, usually if I see that stuff, I kind of jolt or I try and reach out and grab it because I think there's, you know, something that's not supposed to be there. But this was very comforting, weird, just sort of see-through, invisible dog. I know, you're probably thinking I'm crazy. But again, when your grandma's passed or someone in your family has passed, you usually get these little dreams or these little things. You know, could be them, it could be not, it could be your subconscious, who knows. But again, if it doesn't hurt anybody, why not, you know? Well, that's cool. See, you talk shit about work and then they call you off. Actually, that's kind of a good thing. I had planned on working tonight because we had a rare Thursday gig. We're only supposed to be open Friday, Saturday, but because we have good staff and good bands coming in, we've been booking Thursdays and Sundays. So my little two-day jaunts have becoming three-day jaunts and a recovery day. So it's nice now. I got shit to do anyway at home, so this will be good. I'll be able to catch up. So, didn't find shit at Savers. You know, it's National Thrift Weekend. And I think Wednesday was the start of it, but they're still running the sales. And everybody is just, you know, they've ransacked the place. There's not much there. But Savers is just, it's a trip. It's Thursday. They normally have 25% off, but it's 50% off green and three times the points day. So, like, literally anything you get, you're basically walking out with for free. I did see a lot of stuff that if I was in my normal mindset, I would have picked up. But I just don't want the extra crap. There was a few toy bags that had the, I think it was like the third version of April O'Neil from the original Ninja Turtles line, where she had the realistic doll hair. They had one of those stuck in between all of the doll figures. But it was $3.99 for the bag, and you got a bunch of girl toys. I didn't want to go through the hassle of getting a maybe $5, $10 figure and then having to figure out what to do with all the extras. And then there was also a Grey Hulk Marvel Universe, the ones that were kind of like G.I. Joe articulated or Marvel Legends articulated, just smaller. And yeah, too much hassle. Didn't want to go through it, so I passed. I did find the Goofy movie, which I swore I had, and I checked all my picks. Every time I get a lot of new VHS, I reorganize them, and then I take a picture and make sure it's the latest pictures in my phone, and it says I didn't have it, but I swore I had it. Maybe I picked up a Goof Troop VHS, and that's the problem with having so much shit, is you gotta take pictures of it before you do anything. And I realized, actually, I did this same thing. This has been a year now I've been on my VHS quest. Last year I was picking up my first few VHS tapes. Even though I'd had a player, I'd only had maybe a dozen tapes left, and a couple of wrestling tapes, plus all the home stuff. But last year was when I started the quest of things being way too expensive, and I got pissed at Comic-Con, which started me thrifting. And I've been thrifting for a year now, and I can't believe the shit that I've been finding. You know, I'm sure there's a ton of memories. That Star Wars thing was ridiculous. The drums, that guitar unit with all the effects. And now I've got over, I think, 300, realistically, 350... VHS, and then probably about 100 large box, you know, Disney box sized, which means that I've spent $450 because they're each a dollar or, you know, so, but it's been worth it. Whereas I buy three or four Nika Ninja Turtles, and that's $300 or $400 right there. So, yeah, that's my justification on that. So my friend is messaging me, which is funny because, again, talking about Austin, Austin and I used to go back and forth and to talk about ghost stuff because she knows I'm into it and sort of intuitive and understand a lot of these things, or at least have better theories about it. Another friend that I forgot I used to have these conversations with just hit me up randomly. And her boyfriend just died, and she's trying to get back out there and, you know, do some exploring and things. I'm talking ghost hunting. I'm not talking dating, obviously. So she's messaging me, and she said that, you know, she's got the ghost hunt coming up at the Clown Motel, which, if you guys haven't heard of this, it was a famous place already, and sort of an underground ghost hunting spot in Tonopah that got blown way out of proportion by ghost adventures, and now they have themed rooms and people come from all over the country just to go stay in the clown room. I mean, I don't understand why people are afraid of clowns. I guess, you know, the pedo clowns and John Wayne Gacy is a reason to be afraid of clowns. But yeah, I don't understand the fascination with clowns and why it's so haunted. And Zach's episode on the Clown Museum was sort of ridiculous. The typical knocking and moving. And they have one giant clown. He's supposedly afraid of dolls, but has the biggest doll collection I've ever seen. And he set up a clown with the arm, like, resting on its lap. Of course the thing's going to fall off and, you know, scare the bejesus out of you. Oh my God, it moved! Well, you put it on the edge of his lap, and it's a silk-on-silk clown. I mean, the silk glove's going to rub right off the clown lap and drop down. Oh, God, it fucking moved. Shut up. God, I hate that dude. So fucking ridiculous. But she's going to go to the Clown Motel, and, you know, I wish her the best. I kind of warned her and said, you know, don't be afraid if you open up yourself to the other world and your boyfriend comes through, because a lot of times they're just going to follow you around and protect you, and if there was a danger there, well, obviously he's going to be there too. Man, I ain't finding shit. Gone to a couple Savers now and a couple Goodwill, and man, if you're old enough to remember going to the video store and you didn't get there at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon or right after school, and you went with your parents like 8 o'clock at night and there wasn't shit and you had to find something, so all of a sudden you just started reading every box until one looked like it said there was titties in it or, you know, something interesting. That's where I'm at right now, because I have so many of these that it's just, okay, never heard of this but sounds interesting, okay, I'll get it. So I just picked up some random Nick Cage movie and a Harrison Ford movie. And, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the way it just used to be. You would try and find something to watch, and hopefully it was good. So I've never seen Sixth Day before, but I got it a while ago because it had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. And I finally started watching it. And it's so weird to see that movie because it's basically they just ran out of ideas for Arnold Schwarzenegger. So they just started doing the exact same fucking movie over and over and ripping off their own movies. Sixth Day is basically, it's Total Recall. It's a futuristic family movie, but then also Jingle All the Way, where he's got to find a specific doll for his daughter. And it just, yeah, it's, but then again, it's like any Schwarzenegger and Nick Cage movie or something where you just get it for the actor. They just keep rehashing the same shit. Or The Rock. I can't honestly name more than maybe 3 or 4 different Rock movies that were unique, and then all the rest of them just blend in. They're all the same. That's all crap. Oh, these people, I am so pissed that school's back in session, and I love it at the same time because these people don't know how to fucking drive. Jeez, so now the bitch gets over behind me. She's slowing down the fast lane, and as soon as I angrily pass her and give her a look, bitch decides she's going to get over in the other lane. Like, these soccer moms either drive so goddamn fast or so fucking slow because they're beating up the kids in the back seat and they're talking on their phone or podcasting while driving. Some stupid ass shit you're not supposed to be doing. And they're out here making life miserable for the rest of us. Fucking dumb bitch going 30 miles an hour in a 45, which in Vegas means 62. Move! I don't even know what I'm talking about at this point. But you know what? Like, you feel me, right? Like, I'm not the only one with anger issues. Like, this is just dumb. Why can't these people get out the fucking way? Ugh. Alright. So, I'm gonna hit one last thrift shop. And we'll see how that goes. That's the Deseret. Usually good things are there. But they have zero discounts. At all. No discount days. No points. Nothing. They just usually have better shit. Or it's clean. Or not as nasty. You know how you walk into Goodwill and that waft of stale, dead people clothed air hits you? This one smells like a strawberry Pez. Well, I drove 7 different ways the wrong way to try and figure out how to get back to my bank from where I was at and guessed wrong every time. And by the time I finally got there, the ATM was out. So, yeah. Just a little bit perturbed on that. Now I got to go to the other one where I have to actually go in. So inconvenient. I have to go in. Anyway. So I wrapped this one up. I didn't find shit at Deseret. It smelled like strawberry Pez as always. And there was some stripper in there filling baskets with books that she's scanning that she sees what people are selling them for on Amazon. You know, the more and more people that try and become flippers come out, it's only going to clear the shelves for the rest of us that know what we're actually going to buy. So, good on you. Get your junk. I mean, if you make a dollar off of every one of those things you paid a dollar for, great. It's way too much fucking work for me. So I end up with a story. Me and my buddy went out drinking the other night, and this dude comes in, and this is about 2:30 in the morning. Dude comes busting through the door, flamboyant as fuck, gay as fuck, and like came in the door and did a spin around curtsy. So the whole fucking bar knew that he was there, and at the same time, a phone call comes through from the other bar that he just got kicked out of, and they're like, look, this rainbow shirt wearing motherfucker just gonna come in there and acting stupid and getting everyone's faces, you know, probably shouldn't let him in. Well, he got let in before the phone call came through. He's, you know, little gay dude's fast as fuck, and immediately starts making the rounds, going around to everyone in the bar. And he's, like, leaning on people and spinning around and looking at them upside down. And is like, are you gay? Well, what about you? Are you gay? Well, would you want to be? Are you a Leo? You look like a Leo. I'm a Leo. Are you a Leo? Do you want to be a Leo together? Let's, I mean, you know what? I could go on a gay bash rant right now. But I'll deter the conversation to saying that that shit is just not acceptable from any race, any sexual orientation, and any of the 3,000 genders. I couldn't walk into Blue Martini on Cougar Night, start rubbing up on some random bitch and just be like, hey, what's your sign? Want to go home with me? Come on, no, I'll buy you a drink first. I get my ass nutted and then thrown into prison for being a pedophile. Yet somehow these gay fucks can be flamboyant as fuck and get away with absolutely everything. Like, it's just, it's irritating as fuck to me. And so, you know, he comes up and he's trying to do that to me and my buddy, and we're like, back off, dude. Not gay. Don't care. Oh, but come on. No. Like, fucking stop. You're not welcome here. You're not welcome in my presence. I'm not in a talking mood. Me and my buddy aren't even talking to each other. We're just sitting there shooting the shit. You're interrupting us. Yeah, but shut the fuck up. I mean, it's a chatty bitch problem too. Like, I don't want to have to deal with some bitch talking my ear off when I'm just trying to have a good night and relax. It's unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Oh my God, people are so damn dumb. Okay, I'm going to present to you a situation, and you tell me, through telepathy apparently, what you think is the right answer. I just went to Smith's because I had to go deposit cash. Figured I'd go walk around, get some groceries and whatnot. And on the way out, three people exit, and one of us sets off the security bars. Which of these three people are you going to check, okay? The 80-year-old veteran with two things in his bag, a see-through bag, mind you. A 43-year-old asshole with a long-ass beard with three things in his bag, which you can clearly see, who is holding out the receipt for you. Or the kid with a stuffed backpack who didn't buy anything and two motorcycle helmets full of booze and trying to rush past both of us to get out the door. Which one do you think security stopped? Surprisingly, it wasn't me this time. They stopped the 80-year-old fucking veteran. What the fuck does he have to steal? But you're not gonna stereotype and go for the fucking kid who I could clearly see has a fifth stuck in each motorcycle helmet and his backpack filled to the brim? Look, I get it. If you're that poor that you gotta steal food, mind your own business. However, don't check the veteran. Well, why would... Ask me, and I would have told you, obviously, check the fucking backpack. Talk about people not doing their job. And that's a good way to end this. It just floors me that people can't see this. Did I say anything? No. You know why? Because it would have been more paperwork and time wasted for me, because I witnessed something that other people that can't do their job can't figure out how to do. And then I would have to battle it out, fight with a couple of kids, get the product back. Hour later, it's just not worth it. People just don't pay attention anymore. That's so fucking irritating. It really is. All right. Stay safe and sane, and hopefully you aren't the type that is in such dire need that you need to steal food. But if you are, be fucking smart about it. Jeez, these people are so fucking...